Well, it's wonderful to be here with you. And it's, again, catching up with Richard from time to time with the Wooden Society churches. It's great to feel that we're part of the church around the city. And it's, yeah, lovely just to hear some of the kind of words that have been shared as we've been worshipping this morning. Hear what God's up to. So we're going to think a little bit about spring. I'm not sure whether you enjoy this season. That was the kind of this week's been great, hasn't it? Sat in my garden after tea on Thursday in the garden. I just think, oh, this is great. Kind of when spring arrives in the garden. I took that yesterday morning. It's just lovely to be outside and to sense this is God's creation, I think there's different seasons in life and different seasons we have in the kind of in the year, and sometimes God speaks to us through the different seasons. There's something about Paul when he says in Romans chapter 1 verse 20, he says that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, having been understood from what's been made, so that people are without excuse. Actually, there's something about the physical world. I love this book because this book tells us about who God is and what God does. But actually, Paul says here, actually, we can look at the physical world. And actually, as we look at the physical world, actually, God's designed it, God's built it. The beauty, the wonder, the awe. Actually, it's built because we can see something of his divine nature and his eternal power through what's been made. I studied physics for a degree and used to be a physics teacher. And I love the physical world. I love the physical world because it doesn't some people say, does science disprove faith? Of course it doesn't. Actually, in fact, I find that science helps my faith. I see there's an order and a wonder in the world that God's created and actually reflects something of the Creator himself. So I kind of wondered that as we're maybe enjoying spring and just the kind of the stuff that we see around about us, actually, what is God saying through creation to us at this moment? Spring's a great time. Back in March, I've got a little garden, it's ex-council house that we're in, and when winter's coming to a close and spring's starting, you just start to see things coming up in the garden. So little irises were coming up, little snowdrops, one of the kind of first ones that come up in the garden, little crocuses poking through the lawn. There's a little clematis that kind of is an early flowering clematis. And the daffodils start to push their way through the soil. And for those things, I think, actually, there's little signs that winter is over and spring's starting. And actually, there's scenes of life where maybe we've experienced a bit of a winter season. Actually, in the winter, everything's stripped away. Actually, in the winter, there's no leaves. In the winter, there's no blossom. In the winter, there's no fruit. Actually, it's just the stem, the trunk, the sticks. And actually, the season in life, maybe, when we personally feel like that. Actually, why, God, aren't you answering my prayers? Actually, I see, God, why aren't things happening like I kind of thought they should be happening? I'm a Christian, I believe in you. And it seems to be like a winter season that we go through. And it maybe there's kind of winter season that we go through kind of personally, and maybe it is through disappointments with situations or with people. Actually, maybe there's tragedies or illnesses that come our way, and you think, God, kind of, why did that happen? And somehow on our insides, it can feel kind of wintry. About 30 years ago, my dad died, and he was only 65. He'd just retired from being an Anglican vicar, and my mum was 61 at the time, and she'd always been sort of full on serving Jesus, loving him, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But when Dad died, there's the kind of like 3 years that for her were just like a real winter season. This kind of question that kind of he'd served the church and served God all his life, and retirement was going to be a time now for her. And her husband had died. and she didn't know why. That whole kind of question. And there was like this winter season that was affected the way that she thought about herself, thought about the world, actually thought about God. And sometimes personally we can go through seasons like that. Actually, sometimes For a church, we can feel there's seasons like that. As a church body, as a church community, God, kind of, where are you? Kind of, where's the life that you promised? Where's the revival that you said he might be bringing? And we just look at the sticks of our lives, of our church community, and say, actually, God, oh, where are you? And at times where we feel that we've been in that season, I think spring is a time where we just see little signs, maybe things are going to change. There's times in our lives personally, maybe when we've been kind of looking at kind of felt like winter. Actually, there's times where things are going to change. There's times as a community, I remember a community church that I used to lead up in Westbury and Southmead, when we planted Woodlands Church from our congregation, kind of, there was 2 or 3 years where it was really hard because it felt as though all the new stuff was happening with the church plant and we kind of been left behind. And it felt kind of a little bit wintry, quite postnatal depression kind of in the congregation. And I remember a time when God said, actually, the winter is over. Actually, spring is coming. And I wonder whether just at the moment God's saying that there's something spring-like is in the air. For you personally, actually for us as a church, maybe for the church and the nation. We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah is a prophecy that's prophesying some of the new things that God's going to do. Obviously, there's new things happen with Jesus, but actually he prophesied, he wrote it down, and the people through the Old Testament, right from his time until Jesus arrives and goes to the tabernacle and says, these words are being fulfilled. Those words of Isaiah kind of were speaking to people in the winter season. We're speaking to people in the winter season saying, but something's going to change. Here's what it says. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. Such encouraging words, aren't they? But later on it says this, in 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing something new. I wonder if this is a spring season for you personally, for you as a church, actually for the church in the city. This is the verse that kind of, I said, I felt God speaking to us as a congregation. See, the winter has passed. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. Crocuses, irises, snowdrops, daffodils. Flowers appear on the earth. A season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. And I wonder if, a bit like springtime, I wonder if God's doing things in your life. Or actually, if God wants to do things in your life. Actually, I do love my garden. Actually, there's one thing about spring is you get stuff you don't have to work for. So those crocuses, those daffodils, those snowdrops, do you know what? They just come up. I mean, they just kind of spring up from... Well, not from nowhere, but actually the bleakness of winter suddenly interrupted because God is doing something. I took this photo in our garden kind of a few years ago, kind of where kind of there was the signs of winter, was snow, but actually there were signs of spring at the same time. And actually, is God doing something unexpected? Actually, what unexpected signs of God's life are you seeing at the moment? Actually, what things are like those snowdrops and crocuses that just are springing up? And it's not as though you've necessarily been praying for them. It's not as though you've been looking for them. Actually, they're just, God seems to be doing stuff. It was great for Dave and Pauline just earlier on was saying, actually, it's true that there's some things that just seem to be happening that it's not because of any divine strategy that we as a church or Christians have been implementing. Actually, God seems to be, things seem to be springing up. church 4 or 5 weeks ago, I was walking on the door, and it's quite kind of busy coming to Woodlands, and but I noticed this one young guy who was just kind of by the front door, slightly kind of diffident, kind of. So I went down and said, "Oh, are you coming to church?" And he says, "Oh, yes." And so, come on in. I said, "Have you been here before?" "No, I've not been here before." "Oh," I said, "really welcome. Kind of, do you go to another church normally?" "No, I don't go to church." And I said, what's going on?" He said, "I don't know anyone who's a Christian at all," he said, "but I've just been feeling that I've got to find some answers to life." And I said, "Well, how do you find your way here?" He said, "Well, I don't know anyone who's a Christian or anyone who goes to church, but one of my non-Christian friends, he told me about Woodlands." So it's not so even a Christian invited him along. Actually, a non-Christian said, "You ought to, if you're going to try and find something out about God, I think Woodlands might be a church to go to." So he turns up there, just kind of 22-year-old. So I introduced him to one of our other younger guys, and they sit next to each other at service. They kind of find out that he's got... I mean, he was christened as a Catholic. That's the only other time he's been to church. And during the service, one of the friends there said, "It might sound a bit strange. I just kind of think God might be having... He's told me something to tell you. Is that okay if I tell you?" And again, he's slightly freaked out because he doesn't know that there's God or anything. But he says, "Yeah, actually, and this word from God that just means something to this." And he said, "Can I pray for you as well?" And there's this kind of God encounter in this moment. And you think, well, where did that come from? It's a bit like a crocus or a snowdrop. It's just kind of, it's just appeared. Something like spring is in the air. And amazing just to pray for him that he's joined the little kind of community and is well on his way to finding out who Jesus is. And I wonder whether in our winter-like season, I wonder whether God's saying to us, actually, see, the winter has passed. Actually, the season where it used to be kind of hard to share about our faith. Actually, there was generations who were kind of grew up who were disappointed with church. Church is judgmental. Church is harsh. Church is this, that, the other. Church is kind of, church is boring. Kind of, and actually now there's a whole generation, they haven't got a clue about church. They're not disappointed with church because it doesn't come on their radar. But they're intrigued about God and fascinated about who he is. Here's just three things from this passage that I wonder whether we ought to be doing if we're moving from a winter to a spring season. The first thing is, there's something to forget. Forget the former things, don't dwell on the past. Actually, it's interesting, if you've been through a wintry season, we learn habits and strategies of how to survive in a wintry season. We learn how to cope with disappointment. We learn to lower our expectations. Actually, kind of in the winter season, we hibernate. We put the central heating on. We close the doors. We lock ourselves in. Actually, if God is on the move, actually, you've got to forget some of those patterns, some of those mindsets, some of those ways that you used to live. Because if spring is arriving, actually, forget that stuff. Actually, we are told to remember stuff, and why we did communion. Actually, we're told to remember. Actually, there's some good stuff that we always need to hold on to and need to remember. But there's things sometimes we need to let go of. Actually, we need to let go of maybe some of the kind of questions that we had of God that somehow never seemed to get answered. And somehow we can live in that and live with a sense of disappointment. Or we say, actually, do you know what? If God's doing some new thing, actually, I don't want to be held by that. I'm going to kind of put that to one side, put that question. Although maybe one day it'll be answered when I see Jesus face to face. Who knows? But for the time being, I'm going to forget that kind of struggle. I don't want to be unreal. But actually, if God's doing something new, I want to be prepared and ready for the new. Maybe it's forgetting the hurts that kind of kept you in a winter season. Actually, maybe even this morning, that real challenge to forgive for somebody who did something to you and it was so unjust, it was so cruel. Somebody who did something to you and they're not even sorry that they did it. But somehow, it kind of unforgiveness and bitterness can keep us in a winter season. And there's something we need to take those steps to begin to forgive. And in forgiving, maybe we can start to forget the intensity of the pain, disappointment, as we relinquish it, as we let it go. Actually, there's something that maybe if God is on the move in the spring season, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Don't live in a winter season when spring is arriving. I think there's something about, don't you perceive it? Actually, there's something about, now it springs up, do you not perceive it? And the reality is sometimes we don't. Actually, sometimes we don't see what God is doing. And why? Well, sometimes kind of it's because we're not looking. Actually, sometimes it's because we're not expectant. Sometimes it's because we're not living by faith rather than by sight. Actually, there's some things, there's a challenge. Can you perceive? Can you be on the lookout? Can you see what God is doing? I mean, the reality is that God is always at work. Winter, summer, spring, autumn. Actually, God's power through creation is always at work, doing different stuff. Actually, God is doing stuff in the winter season, in those plants and those trees. He is doing something. God will have been doing something if you've been in the winter season. But actually, God is doing something new and something now, and do we perceive it? It's interesting, like you, I can't remember your name, but actually, in the workplace is probably where you are, kind of for many of you, where you might be most of your week. And actually, if God's always at work, he will be at work there. Yes. Actually, do you perceive it? Do you perceive the little kind of shoots of where people used to be so dismissive of Christianity? But now, if someone says that they're concerned or anxious or worried or stressed out at work, if you were to say, oh, I'll say a little prayer for you. It may not be kind of kicked back as much as it used to be. Do you perceive that that's what's going on? Do you perceive the work that the Spirit's doing in drawing and challenging? And again, my question to you is do you perceive it? Do you perceive the new life? The new life that Jesus is bringing and the new life he wants to bring people? There's new creation. Actually, the old is gone, the new is here. There's something about the new that God wants to bring. And are we people who are perceiving the eye of faith to notice what God is doing? There's all kinds of other stuff that's happening in the world that shouts very loudly. Politics, cost of living, Trump tariffs, or whatever it is that kind of is going on in the news, they shout loudly. But do you perceive, beyond the shouts of the news, the voice of the Lord? The activity of the world, the demands of the workplace, the work of the Lord. Do you perceive it? It's springing up. God is at work. It's a time of singing has come. There's something about a season where we see God at work, where we perceive it. We're not living in the winter season. We're not kind of, we've not got so used to that, we're not taking on what God's doing. And then just, I suppose, the third thing. Springtime is a time where God unexpectedly does things. Actually, as a gardener, I don't know if anyone else likes gardening here. Actually, as a gardener, actually, spring is a time for sowing. I've got a little kind of one of these little greenhousey kind of things, and just the last few weeks I've started sowing seeds. I've started sowing seeds because I know that now's the season to sow seeds. The spring is the season because and you sow seeds and they're on my windowsill. They're starting to germinate. They're kind of got some French beans. They're kind of pushing out. I've got some beetroot that's there. I've got some flowers that are kind of now is the time to sow. And again, I just wonder whether God's saying, now's the time to sow. that winter is a time for inactivity, but actually spring is a time to sow. So, I mean, what seeds are you sowing in your spiritual life at the moment? Actually, if God's on the move, if God is working, there's going to be stuff that he's going to be doing, but actually there's a challenge for us as well. What are we sowing in our lives at the moment? What harvest are you looking for? Well, I'm looking for a harvest of French beans and beetroot. I'm looking for that kind of harvest. Because I'm looking for that kind of harvest, I'm sowing those kind of seeds that are going to deliver that kind of harvest. And if the spring is a time for sowing, what kinds of things are you sowing in your life at the moment? And are you sowing for the things of the kingdom? Are you sowing for the things of God? Because we can sow into our own sense of identity. We can sow into our sense of well-being. We can sow into our sense of safety. Actually, we could just do stuff that everyone else in this world does. Or we can sow seeds that are to do with the spiritual life that God has for us. Sow seeds of generosity, of compassion, of care. Sow seeds of prayer and Bible study and fasting. We actually sow seeds that are seeds that are dying to self and living more to the life of Jesus. And I think there's a choice. There's a time of sowing. And the reality is kind of, this is talking about giving, but do we sow sparingly? If so, you'll reap sparingly. Or do you sow generously, in which case you'll reap generously? Sometimes I kind of, you get a packet of seeds and it says on the outside, 400 seeds. You think, what on earth am I going to do with 400 seeds? But somehow, if you sow sparingly, in the way that things go, kind of, and the slugs and the whatever, actually, you sow generously, you'll reap generously. Actually, sow sparingly, then actually what might happen is the slugs get a lot of them and, got nothing. And there's something about God's kingdom is, are you a generous sower? Are you a generous sower? Are you genuinely, generously investing in the things of God? And I think that can apply to all kinds of things. And I think when David's talking about Alpha, I think that's it's true. There's opportunities to sow in relationships that you have with non-church friends. How do you sow the gospel in friends? We've just been doing a little course called Sharing Jesus Supernaturally. And one of the things that we've been trying to do is just trying to simplify this thing about how do you invite someone to Alpha, or how do you see one of your work colleagues or friends become Christian? How do you sow those gospel seeds? And we've been challenging our folks to do this. It's a prayer, care, share. So kind of prayer, care, share. Prayer. Can you just choose three friends, three work colleagues, three neighbours, kind of three family members who don't yet love Jesus? And could you kind of commit to pray for them every day? So between now and the start of Alpha, May the 6th, is it? Go up 7th. Could you, for three people, could you just sow those seeds in prayer? Pray for them by name once a day. Could you care with them once a week? So for those three people, just think of something above and beyond your natural interactions. How could I do some random act of kindness? Some kind of something to show that I've noticed them, that I love them, that they matter. A donut at work, a cup of coffee, a text, a card, a visit. Is that going once a week? Could you do something to show that you care? And then maybe once a month, look for an opportunity to share. Share when people say what to do at the weekend. Do you know what? I went to church and there was this person talking about spring and had all these flowers and whatever. And I just felt God saying, and you could share. It doesn't have to be, I used to be pagan, I met Jesus and I became a Christian. It doesn't have to be the whole big story. Just a little thing. Share a little thing about how God's real to you, what Jesus has done for you. Just share kind of the willingness to pray for somebody or an answer to prayer that you've seen. And prayer, care, share. And actually, if you have a little kind of routine with those three people of prayer, care, share, actually, who knows? The 1 in 10 might become 1 in 7, might become 1 in 5. Actually, who knows? You could be sowing, it's time for sowing seeds. You could be sowing generously with your people, the people you know. And things could change. I think we're running out of time, aren't we? So I think when it comes to sow, obviously I'm sowing seeds that come September, August, September, I'll get the fruit. Actually, life, we've got one life to live. Actually, how do you prioritise what's important? I think this question is quite easy, an interesting one. What are you doing this year that will still matter in 10 years' time? I mean, that's the kind of seeds to sow, isn't it? Actually, what things are you doing this year that will still matter in 10 years' time? And that kind of gives you the perspective of something that God, you're investing in God's kingdom, God's business, God's activity, because your activity is up and down and fluctuates. Actually, God's activity endures. So, just a chance to pray as we finish. What's God saying? I think God's saying, see, I'm doing a new thing. see, I'm doing a new thing. And how do we respond? How do we react? How do we forget a mindset that's to do with winter? How do we start to perceive what God is doing now? Engaging with that. And how do we sow in this season where those seeds germinate and grow and a harvest is on its way? And I think it's maybe God's saying, even through some of the words that have been shared this morning, I think maybe that's what God's saying to us this morning. And maybe we'll take a little chance to pray as we finish. Is that okay, Jim? Let's just pray. God, thank you so much for those words in Isaiah. Forget the former things. Do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Thank you. You said this. The winter is past. Flowers appear on the earth. A season of singing is coming. And I just want to pray just in our spirits now, Lord, you'd encourage us to forget the past that is damaging and stifling, hinders our faith, hinders our expectations, Lord. And we don't want to be disloyal or kind of not true to ourselves, but actually we don't want to be held by bitterness and unforgiveness and things that stop us seeing the new things you're wanting to do. Lord, help us to have eyes to perceive what you're doing in our workplace, in our neighbourhood, along our street, with our family who don't yet know you. Help us to perceive what you're doing, God, and to keep in step with what you're doing. And God, I just want to pray that you give us the bravery and courage to sow. To sow the seeds of kingdom life into the secret places of our own hearts. But sow the seeds in our workplace of prayer and care and share of who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.